doesn't match good. Okay? But we didn't say our circumstances are good all the time. All the time our circumstances are good. We said that God is good all the time. Our circumstances don't make God good or bad. Because I can tell you one thing, God is not bad. God is not bad. He is good. He is righteous. He is pure. He is holy. His judgment is right. His choices, his decisions are right. And his ways, I'm going to tell you, they're not our ways. We see things through a lens of selfishness. Let's just be honest. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord, there is still a selfish lens that you look through. Now, I pray that it's getting less and less as we decrease and he increases. Whoo. Can we take a deep breath this morning? Man, it's just resonating in my heart. It just pounds in my chest, man, that God is good. And yet God gets the blame for so much stuff in this world. So many bad things. You hear people say, well, if God's so good, then why is the kids starving in Africa? Or why does babies die? Or why does the person I love so much, why they die of this disease if God's so good? I want to share something with you because God placed this world into our hands. Come on, in Genesis, it says, so God created. He created human beings. Guess what? That blows evolution out of the water. Because God created. He says he created humans in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food, and I have given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals and the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And this is what happened. And then God looked over all he had made, and he said, it is very good. It is very good. When God placed it into our hands, things were what? Very good. Good, not just good, very good. And he placed it in our hands and he said, you govern over it, you reign over it. And yet we blame God for every bad thing that happens in our lives. We question him every turn, everywhere. We say, God, why did you allow, do? And God said, I'm giving the world to you to have dominion over it, to be fruitful, to multiply, to reign and govern this earth. And somewhere in this whole thing, we've put God at that it's all his fault, everything that happens. And I'm telling you today, I'm declaring with a passion today that God is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. We live in a fallen and broken world. Newsflash. Sin abounds. Amen? But you know what abounds more than the sin in this world? The grace of God. Anybody thankful for the grace of God and where it found you? Come on. God is good. I'm telling you, this world, there's a lot of things in this world that are not. But there's a lot of things in this world that are good too. Come on. Blake, have you ever looked into a newborn's eyes? The fruit of your flesh, man. It's good, isn't it? You ever fallen in love? It's good, isn't it? It's good. You ever help somebody in need? Has God ever used you in a mighty way? I mean, things, it's good. But it's bad. And sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. Sin came in. Sin began to affect things. How many of you have been affected by sin in your life? Yeah, come on. It affects us. But how many of you have been affected by Jesus Christ more than sin ever affected you? You see, our badness, our wrongness, our sinfulness is no match for the grace and the glory of God. God's goodness far outweighs any badness that you'll ever taste. Amen. Amen. God has put us in charge. He's given us the authority to rule and reign on this earth. I think if we want to look at who's to blame for most of the things going around, we could get a giant mirror out, Fife, and look in that mirror. Amen. I mean, we go through all kinds of things. I mean, you look at all of the things that man has created. Look at all the chemicals, all of the stuff that man's created, that are not created, but made, formulated, and produced, and all the things that we put into our bodies. I mean, like, and this is no shot at anybody who smokes, but I mean, we smoke, and then we say, God, why did I get cancer? Or we eat a bunch of junk. Come on, Whole Food Mama. I mean, you think about the chemicals. How about a Whole Food Grandmama over here? I mean, we put all this stuff in our life. How about it, doctor? We put all this stuff in our life, and then we say, well, I don't know why I got this or that. God gave us dominion. God told us to reign. God gave us the things to eat, to walk. Amen? And yet we want to blame God. I'm saying, look, let's just say God is good. He's good all the time. Bad things happen, but God's still good. And this earth, I can promise you this, it's temporary. Whatever you're going through, whatever circumstance, whatever battle you're fighting, whatever war is waging, it is temporary. It is temporary. And God will ultimately deliver us. Amen. How many of you want to be delivered right now? Amen. We do. And God does. And God does deliver right now. But how many of you know that sometimes the healing doesn't come in that moment? Does anybody understand that? That sometimes we walk through some stuff and it don't all look like a rose garden. Hey man, even in a rose garden, there's thorns. Amen. Man, here's what, gosh. As I looked at this, how many of you ever just read the story of Job? How many of you walked away from that going, oh, oh man, we go, there's some pretty rotten and destructive and messed up things on this earth, right? And we've seen some of them, we've experienced some of them, we've been at the core of some of those things. But I'm telling you what Job walked through what he experienced. Let me tell you, Job is a child of God. Job thought he was righteous. And look what happened in his life. All right. The Lord said, you may test him. Verse 13, it says, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with the news, your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them, and these Sabaean raiders raided us and stole the animals and killed your farmhands. I'm the only one escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all your shepherds. I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, with this news, three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants, and I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides, and the house collapsed and all your children are dead. I'm the only one that escaped to tell you. Let me tell you something. That situation is bad. God is good. You got to shift your mind and your thinking, because what we do is we relate the bad things that happen to the God that we love, and that's not the same thing. God is good no matter what. No matter what you're facing. And if you can't hold on to that, it's going to distort the way you think, the way you respond, the way you believe, the words that come from your mouth, if you don't believe that at the core of who you are. Amen? Now, we all know people that are going through tough situations. We all know of circumstances, things that happen, and it's tough and it's hard. But God is good, and here's Job, man. Everything that he had, except his wife right here, all of his children, all of his livestock, all of his wealth, gone in an instant. Gone in an instant. Just head and fell on the ground to worship. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. Job stood up and he tore his robe with grief and he shaved his head and he fell to the ground to worship. How many of your first response in that situation would be to fall flat on your face and worship God? Or how many of you would clench your fist like this and go, God, why? Why did you do this to me? Job's first response was to worship, and Job said this statement. He said, should we only accept the good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? I got to say to you, honestly, I am thankful that God doesn't just put me in a shell and just let the good things rain on me. Seriously. What kind of, are you a father who would just give everything to your kid and they never learn anything in any part of life? I can tell you right now, Taylor, we're walking through some things right now, aren't we? And your mom and I could just take it all away, right? We could just take care of the stuff that you got going on. But yet you are walking day in and day out, aren't you? Come here, baby. Hey, we're an open book, man. And we are family, and we love you, and you love us, and we can be transparent, right? And it's okay because we got each other's back. We're family. And we're not perfect, and you're not perfect either. And I just want to share just a little bit. Taylor going through some things at college, and she's got some financial situations through some student loans and some tough, you know, some, let's just be honest, wrong decisions. And so she's got quite a bit of little debt going on for a 21-year-old. And she's going through this tough time in her life, living on her own. She got two roommates living in Indy, trying to survive being a waitress. And, you know, you're just getting by week to week, and nothing's changing. And so we have to have a sit-down talk, and we have lunch together, and I go to her apartment. We sit down. I lay out the things. Look, baby, here's where you're at. Here's the financial situation that you're walking through. I said, your mom and I want to help you. We want you to find somebody to take your place here in this apartment, and we want you to move home, and we want you to get a job that you do not like. Can we say check? Yeah, we got that one. We got that. We want you to get a job that you do not like, and that you have to work a lot of hours and make enough money that we can get through this process as quickly as possible. And one of the things that we ask is that when you get paid on a Friday, that you sign your check and you give it to your mother and I, and we're going to help you. We're going to develop a budget. We're going to walk through it. What's the first line on our budget, baby? Tithes. Paying tithes to the Lord. She doesn't make that much money, but the very first thing that comes out of her check, she gives to the Lord. We've set up a budget. She's, and faithfully, man, I'm telling you, this girl is not a morning person. But God, in rich in mercy, he gives her a job. She has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, see, some of you say, well, God's bad then. No, God is good. I'm telling you, God is good. Just because our circumstance is bad and it's not the way we want, doesn't mean that God's not good. God is good, isn't he? And he's been faithful through this whole thing. And this girl right here has been getting up every morning and going to work at Ison. No slant against anybody that works at Ison, but for a 21-year-old girl who's only been a waitress, it's a rude wake-up call for her. And she picks parts up and puts them on a thing all day long. And she's black and dirty when she comes home. And somewhere inside of me, I know you're going to think this is twisted, but I get joy out of it. And maybe I am twisted, and I'm sorry, but I'm just showing you this, that my love for her is good. But I want her to walk through this because I want her to learn something that will change her life. Now, had I just went and took and wrote a check for what she owes and went through that whole process, okay, baby, what do you think she would learn? That the next time she gets in trouble or she has a bad something, she can just run and somebody's going to take care of it. It's not how it's going to work. It's not how it's going to work. God holds my hand and walks me through some bad decisions I've made. He doesn't just make it all better. And so we're walking through these things, and have we not seen God's hand in all this? When we went to where she lived in her apartment, she had a little outstanding debt there. They dropped what she owed by $800. We've seen God's faithfulness even in these little things. And she's already got you will have three of her little debts. So you'll have those knocked out. And she's got a couple more. But I'm just saying that sometimes what we're walking through doesn't always feel good, but God is still good. He is good. I love you. He is good. And sometimes God has to take us by the hand and walk us through this thing. Now you think about Job. I mean, he lost everything that he had. And what would our response be? And I sat in my office this morning just rereading over this and looking at this. And man, I was overcome by the presence of God. And I felt like in that moment, man, if God took everything from me, that I could still shout his name from the mountaintop. And I could still shout his name from the valley. Because my faith is not based on my circumstances. It's not based on how my children perform or what they do or their good decisions or their bad decisions. You see, Taylor's decisions doesn't make me good or bad. My love for her is pure and is good. And just because you make bad decisions or bad things happen or the world gives you a bunch of crud, it doesn't mean that God's bad. It means you better cling to his goodness. Because that's the only thing that's going to get you through this. And Job, we see, man, his first response was to worship. But the more he was in that moment, the more he became almost there was a bitterness in his heart. Because what it caused Job to do, he began to say, I'm good. He began to say, God, why are you allowing all these bad things to happen to me? Because I'm good. And Job began to go through a list. And how many times do we face a situation in our life that's bad? And maybe our prayers didn't get answered the way we wanted them to. And we're walking around with our lips stuck out and our arms folded going, God, God, God. But I've done everything. I go to church every Sunday. I mean, I read my Bible last week. I prayed. God, why? And we look in the face of a sovereign, almighty God who speaks stars out of his mouth. And we question him. And Job made that mistake, man. Job began, because see, there's always something when a bad situation's going on or something's not going the way we want it to with our kids or our house or our husband, wife, or job, we always start going, it always comes back to me. You know, there's always this selfish thing going, why God? Now, look, I'm not saying, if anybody had a reason to be bent, Job had a reason to be bent in the natural. But when you got your eyes on the sovereign God and you begin, if you really begin to soak in who God is, if you really begin to soak in eternity, you really begin to soak in the plan of God, all of a sudden, man, things begin to get in a perspective. And we don't have it. We have no right to stand before a sovereign, almighty, just, righteous, pure, holy God and question anything that's going on. What we should do is, God, I need you more today. God, this situation is more than I can handle. God, I don't know why my kid was born like this. I don't know why they act like this. I don't know why, but God, I need you more. God, I need you more. I don't understand, God, but I know that you do. God, I'm not faithful, but I know that you are. God, I'm not good, but I know that you are, God. You find yourself in this place, and Job gets there, okay? Job gets there, but he doesn't start out in the middle of this story there. He kind of gets off base, and Job begins to say in verse 31, in chapter 31, he starts going through this whole list of the things that he's good and his righteous list of stuff, and he says, man, I made a covenant with God not to look at a woman lustfully. Isn't it a calamity for the wicked and the misfortune of those who do evil? Doesn't he see everything that I do and every step that I take? And you see how Job begins this inward focus. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that same place. He says, Job says, have I lied to anyone? Did I deceive anyone? Did I let God weigh me on the scales of justice? For he knows my integrity. I mean, can you just see God listening to Job's, I mean, really self-pride, arrogance? He says, if my heart was seduced by a woman, or have I lusted on my neighbor's wife, did I did I let my wife serve another man? Or for lust is a shameful sin. And he goes on, he says, have I been unfair to any of my servants? Have they brought a complaint against me? He just goes on and on and on. I mean, for the whole chapter. I'm not going to read it all to you. But in chapter 32, at the very beginning of that, it says, Job's three friends refused to reply to Job's response there any further because he kept insisting on his innocence. Come on, let's hear that one more time. He kept insisting on his innocence. Let me tell you and me today, there's not a one of us that are innocent. Your righteousness stinks. Seriously, you think you're good? You think you're righteous? You got a list of good stuff you've done? So what? It stinks. You know why it stinks? Because it's compared to the righteousness of God. And his purity and his holiness and his righteousness, there's nothing that can compare to it. Anything that tries to compare to it is stinking, dead, rotten flesh. And Job kept insisting on his innocence. And sometimes we think, man, I've been such a good person. God, why has bad things happened to me? God, why is this my lot in life? And I know, man, some of you went through some things. Some of you are going through things. Some of you have a battle right now. And maybe you're sitting there going, Johnny, you arrogant person, you. Look, this is not my arrogance. This is my confidence. I don't want to be arrogant. I want to be confident. Because I know that my wife could be taken from me. I know that my children could be taken from me. I know that my job could be taken from me. I know that everything that I have could be wiped away in a moment. If it happened to Job, it could happen to me. So I don't stand before you arrogant. I know I've seen my friends fight diseases. I've seen them die of heart attacks. I've seen them go through things. And I know that I could be next. But my confidence is not in this body or in this job or in this flesh or even in my family or even in my wife. My confidence and my faith is in God, God, God. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. I know it could be wiped away tomorrow. Or today, and I'd have to stand before you and I would have to say, God is good. Granted, I might be screaming, and tears might be coming down my face, and my heart might be ripped out of my chest, but it would not change the fact that God is good. It would not change who he is in a moment. It would only make you cling to him more. Don't question God, run to him. Don't shake your fist at him. Open your arms to him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, he's the only one that is consistent and faithful in your life. I'm telling you, everybody else, everything else will fail you, let you down, not meet your expectations. I'm telling you. But God will. He will not let you down. He'll be there. He's more faithful than a brother. He sticks to you close. And Job just kept, oh, I'm innocent. Look at all these righteous things. Listen, it stinks. You're not righteous. The word of God says you're not even good. It says there's not one man or woman that there's nothing good in you. The only thing that's good that we can cling to is God. Amen? And so God lets Job rant. You ever ranted before God? Just had a pity party? I mean, yeah. And we all got situations. Come on. We could all be bitter at God if we wanted to. We could all have misdirected bitterness. An offense to God, because if we attach the bad things that's happened to our life to God and his character and who he is, yeah, you can, but it's distorted. It's it's deceitful the way Satan twists it around and points it to God. And all the time, Satan knows he's the author. He's the author. He's the one that came to God. He's the one that was, he was the one that God said, oh, okay, you can test him. It was Satan that did it, not God. Okay? Let's understand that. Let's don't get distorted and misdirected in our thinking. The bad stuff and the death and destruction comes from the enemy. Abundant life comes from the Father. So, Lord lets Job go on, and then it says the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. And man, I'll tell you what, man, when you begin to think who God is, and you begin to think of the power and the sovereignty and the glory and the majesty of God, man, I'll tell you what, it puts you in your place in just a second. God, the Lord spoke to Job from this whirlwind. He said, who is this that questions my wisdom with such arrogant words? I mean, can you imagine? Everything you've held dear, you thought was so important, was taken from you in a moment. You began to have a pity party, and then, I mean, not only was everything taken from you, but if we read the whole story, man, Job was afflicted with sores on his body. I mean, it says that he used a broken piece of clay to scrape the sores and the pus. And I mean, the dude was afflicted. And now if your whole family's been killed, all your camels have been killed, all your servants have been killed, all your livestock's been killed, and you've broken out with sores all over your body, and you've had to scrape them with a broken piece of clay, please stand up. No, not one. I mean, whatever situation we're going through, it could get worse. And either you're going to be mad at God or you're going to cling to him. I don't want to be in a place of being mad at God for the bad things that happen in my life. I want to cling to him and say, God, it's only because of you that I can even make it through this. It's only because of you that I can even have the strength to get up in the morning. And God answers him and says, who is this that questions my wisdom with such arrogant words? And then God says this, he says, brace yourself like a man. I mean, at this point, I'm just falling on the ground dead. I'm like, okay, just take me, Lord. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you. You see, I mean, is this making any sense? Because I was overwhelmed in my spirit, man. That this is the God that we serve. And he tells us our ways are not like his ways. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Man, when God speaks, I mean, do we believe in God? I mean, God Almighty, the sovereign King of the universe who will reign forever. And the sovereign King of the universe spoke to Job. It says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid the cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted in joy. Who kept the seas inside their boundaries as it burst forth from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind the gates and limited its shores, and I said, thus far and no more shall you come, and here your proud waves must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear? Have you ever caused the dawn to rise from the east? Have you made the daylight spread to the ends of the earth, to the wicked, to bring an end to the night's wickedness, As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed beneath the seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that raised it in violence. Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Have you explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does the light come from and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all this. For you were born before it all was created and you were so very experienced. I mean, God's being a little sarcastic. Yeah. It's like there is an order here and there is a place. And we are the ones that worship. And he is the one that is worshiped. And somehow, over some time, we're the one that's gotten so arrogant that we've lost our awe for an awesome God. And we make him ordinary and common. And instead of having fear and awe of God and understanding our position and his position, we've allowed the enemy to turn it upside down. God, he goes on, he says, have you visited the storehouses of snow or seen the storehouses of hail? I have reserved them as weapons for the time of trouble and the day of battle and war. Where is the path to the source of light and where is its home in the east of the east wind? Who created the channel for the torrents of rain and who laid the path for the lightning and who makes the rain fall on barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does rain have a father? Who gives birth to the dew? Who is the mother of the ice and who gives birth to the frost of the heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock and the surface of the water freezes. Can you direct the movement of the stars? Can you bind the clusters of Pleiades or loosen the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the law of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear? I was just like, Job, just say enough is enough. But if you know the rest of the story, enough wasn't enough. God continues on through chapter 39 and 40. At the beginning of chapter 40, Job responds to the Lord. He says, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. How could I ever find the answers to your questions, oh God? I will cover my mouth with my hand. You might want to write that one down. Because that's really a good practice we might want to all practice. Let me say this, not just with God, just in life. But definitely with God. We might want to say, God, you're God. I'm not. He says, Job says, I've said too much already. Really? Have you ever been in that place? I've said too much already. Job says, I have nothing else to say. He says, I have nothing else to say. Guess what the Lord said? The Lord said, well, I have more to say. And he goes on and he says, brace yourself because I have some more questions for you. And he goes on, he continues to show who he is. I'm telling you, we are not God. Finally, after God is done speaking of his greatness and his wisdom beyond our understanding, Job replies to the Lord and he says, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. That would be a great revelation for us to understand. That God can do anything, and there's no one that can stop him. Listen, that's a word for us, man, because Satan's power is no equal to God's power. And whatever the enemy has against you doesn't stand against the power that God has for you. Even if all hell breaks loose, listen, even if things go crazy. No, Cash, I wasn't talking to you, man. Even if everything's going wrong, God can still do anything. But the God that we serve doesn't always change everything, does he? How many of you are thankful that when you went through the toughest times in your life, or maybe you're in the toughest time, that you feel the hand of God in your hand, and you know that he's walking every step of the way with you? And if we were God, we'd change everything so that everything's perfect in our life. Yeah? You know what the bad thing is we'd change everything in our life and the people around our little circle, and to heck with everybody else. But God is sovereign, and God understands the fullness of humanity. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author who finishes. He finishes. And Job says, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Job comes to the understanding. He says, it is I. Job says, it is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things too far, too wonderful for me. Things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. And I had only heard about you before. See, this is the change that takes place in Job's life. This is the thing that takes place in his life. And I can relate, because I was in this place before. I'd only heard about God. I thought I knew him, but I'd only heard about him. Job says, I had only heard about you before, and now I have seen you with my own eyes. Jason, come. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And Job comes to the realization, and I pray that our heart will be in this place too. He says, Job says, I take back everything I said. He realized his position. He realized his arrogance. He realized his folly. And he said, I take back. What does that look like? What is that? What is the essence of what he just did? It's a word that starts with R. He repented. He repented. He says, I take back everything I said. I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Man, and then it's beautiful what happens. You see, when Job realized his position and his place, and he realized who God was, and he had an encounter with God, it changed his outlook. It caused him to repent. It caused him to repent. And isn't that so true? Romans 2:4, it says, Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. And you see, in this moment, Job realized the goodness of God, even in his messed up, terrible, horrible circumstances. And when he realized the goodness of God in the midst of his storm and his pain, it led him to a place of repentance. It led him to a place of shutting his mouth, retracting all of his arrogance, retracting his self-righteousness, and saying, God, your goodness outweighs my situation. Verse 10, it says, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. I love that too. See, not only did Job repent, but who was he praying for? He wasn't praying for his own circumstance, was he? Come on, get this. Job was not praying for his own circumstance. Job was praying for his friends. And when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and sisters and former friends came and feasted with him in his home, and they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. And so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 teams of ox and 1,000 female donkeys. And he also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. And in all the land there were no women as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with their brothers. And Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. And then he died an old man who had lived a long, full life. Can we stand to our feet today and let's get in position. Let's get in position to who God is and who we are. Let's take our rightful stance. Let's ask God to restore some of the awe of who he is into our heart. Sometimes we grow cold and calloused, and sometimes we think we got all the answers, and sometimes we think we know it all, and then God questions us. Sometimes you get shaken at the core of who you are. Come on. Come on, let's just close our eyes. Let's just worship the King of Kings this morning.